Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 1st of October, recording at 9:39 p.m., and it's still British summertime for a little longer. Now, first the highlights today. Asian stock markets, a number of them were closed, but where they were open, we saw some modest to moderate gains. Quite good gain by the Australian index, up 4.22%. European markets were mostly down and then steadied to show some modest gains in most instances. Germany was an exception, with quite weak performances by the automobile shares. And Wall Street, the Dow had fallen a couple of hundred points, but closed down 19.5 points. It was boosted by the announcement that Warren Buffett had put some money into GE. I'll post that item shortly. And elsewhere, long-dated government bonds, still fearing the economic slowdown and recession risk, showing some gains in here today, despite the somewhat better performance by stock markets. The U.S. dollar firm in here again today after those big gains that we saw yesterday, although it's a little bit weaker against the Antipodean currencies. And euro dollar is down to 140 again. Crude oil had rallied, but then sold off. It's really locked in a range, mainly between 100 and 90. Currently trading at 98.61. Natural gas was firmer. Currently at 7.78. And what else? Gold bounced around, but closed a little bit easier for a change. The other precious metals steadied a bit. And commodities were mostly a bit easier. Yes, but some mixed. Sugar, white sugar, I see, was a bit stronger. Soybeans were a bit stronger. Tin and nickel showed modest gains among metals, but the other industrial metals were down. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, after the shock and awe and the climactic activity that I wrote about and discussed yesterday, which of course is vivid in everyone's memories from Monday, we have a deeply oversold short-term situation after the quite persistent selling that we've seen in the late May to, well, late September period. And that had caused quite big downside overextensions relative to the declining 200-day moving averages, which I have referred to as the trend mean. And I discussed this yesterday and illustrated some of those charts, and they do suggest to me quite strongly that we really ought to be seeing some sort of reversion to the mean, in other words, a technical rally, that I believe, if it didn't start yesterday, will start at some point this month for most of these global stock markets. And given the short-term overextensions and some other factors which I will review, this rally could easily last through the year end and into the new year. One reason for that is that is a seasonally strong period. Another reason for that is that we have had such fear in the markets, and of course, as I've already mentioned, that leads to capitulation selling. That level of fear is unsustainable. What's changed? Well, certainly the crisis oriented governments have leapt into action here with various rescues and bailout packages and interest rate cuts in some areas, and I think we're going to see more of that activity, and so we should, because the consequences of not getting it in terms of the credit logjam would be dire. We've seen substantial, although not historic, bear market moves, but my goodness, we've seen some big declines, particularly in some of the smaller markets, and this has created some quite good value, not least in some of the fuller money themes. And I think people are wondering, is this a we're all wondering, is this a playable rally? Well, yes, if it has really, as I'm expecting this to carry into the new year, I think it'll get an Obama bounce. I'm assuming that's the way the U.S. election turns out. But whatever, a change in the White House, I think, is going to produce some form of, and obviously we do get a change in following the election on November 4th, although the inauguration takeover doesn't take place until January. The new president will usually gets an election honeymoon period in the markets. So I think we could well see that. And while there are still alarming questions regarding the credit situation, some of the derivatives really, among them all those credit default swaps, the so-called CDCs, there's a lot of uncertainty out there. Nobody really knows how all that's going to play out. And nobody knows the extent of additional rescues that may be necessary, but at least these problems are being addressed, and albeit with messy, imperfect rescue packages, as is the case with most of these traumatic situations in markets. But again, as I've mentioned over and over again in my broadcasts, we do not have a dollar crisis. We do not have a crisis of soaring long-term interest rates in terms of government bonds. That would be indicating dramatically increasing inflationary pressures. I maintain that inflationary pressures are melting into the background really quite rapidly as these commodity prices come down. And the oil's the key one, and if oil stays below $100, that's going to be favorable overall. If it goes below $80, and that's what I've sort of indicated as the lower side of my forecasts, but some people are looking for still lower levels. That may be a contrary indicator, but if they're right, that would be very bullish. I saw a forecast of oil going back to $60. I think that's highly unlikely. But every forecast has got to be in with at least some sort of statistical chance. If that were to happen, I think it would bring back a Goldilocks environment. Remember that? So I think that, and again, as I mentioned, there is some reasonably good value in a number of these markets, and not least, or I would say particularly, among many of the fuller money themes. So that's not that bad a background, except for the fear and uncertainty and alarm over the credit crisis situation. Okay, what about these long-dated government bonds? Well, I think that if I'm right on the stock market rebound, then it's quite likely that we will see government bond prices weaken, because yields are unsustainably low, I would argue, and they're pointing to a pretty grim recession environment. In terms of currencies, the US dollar is strong as long as it stays above its late September reaction lows. That's near 76, just below 76 on the US dollar index. As long as it remains above those levels, current activity will look like a consolidation of gains prior to some additional strength. And that's important, I think, psychologically, since so many people had feared a possible dollar plunge and therefore a serious crisis. And I think it does help to lower inflationary expectations as well. Now, what currencies or will what currencies might the dollar not rally against? Hard question to answer. I'd give the dollar the benefit of the doubt here right now, but I suspect that if we see evidence of somewhat steadier global growth, and right now global GDP growth is still slowing, and that's what I would look for in the fourth quarter and into the new year. But if next year at some point we get evidence of some firming in GDP growth, and that would require, I think, not only stability in the financial markets, but it would require some interest rate cuts where they had been risen quite sharply to combat inflationary pressures. It would obviously require a significant thawing in the or easing rather in the credit crunch. Then I would expect to see. And when that happens, I would expect to see global GDP growth pick up, and I would expect the commodity currencies to benefit, and certainly the commodity stock markets. What else to mention here that's relevant? I think that's pretty well covered most of the bases. Again, I'll just end by repeating that view that I do think we will see a firmer tone to stock markets developing this month and carrying through into the new year. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.